And if you are watching this broadcast live on YouTube or podcast, whether you're watching live or later, we thank you for being here. We want to tell you Jesus is real, he's alive, and he loves you. And I encourage you, you can do that at the end of this message, but you don't even need to. Right now, call on the name of the Lord. The Bible says if anybody calls on the name of the Lord, they shall be saved. And it's a joy to have you here. Good. How many of you have a Bible today? Would you wave it in the air, make the devil mad? Come on, this is not just a book about God. I don't want to mess you up, but this is God. God and his word are one. In the beginning was the word was with God, the word was God, the same as in the beginning with God. The word became flesh and was tabernacled amongst us. Jesus said in John 6:63, the words that I speak to you are spirit and they are life. It says in 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture is God breathed. The life and breath of God. God didn't just write us a book, like an operating manual for the Christian life. He sent his word. Jesus is the living word. This is the written word. But when your faith comes upon the written word becomes the preceding word. Because man shall not live by bread alone, but by every preceding word from the mouth of God. Hallelujah. And I say that often, but if you open the Bible for history, you'll find it. If you open the Bible for good moral lessons, you'll find them. If you open the Bible for doctrine, you'll find it. But if you open the Bible to hear the voice of God, if somebody, you know, people climb mountains to hear God. Oh, I want to hear God speak to me. Can I tell you, if you'd like to hear the voice of God, open your Bible and read it out loud. That's the voice of God. And I don't care if 200 angels appeared to you and a prophet with a beard and a jar of oil. I don't believe in anything like I believe in this. Amen. This is the word of God. Hallelujah. That just felt good. Sometimes you got to rev the engine. I'm sorry. I'm in a silly mood. It's Easter, Graham. Be serious. I have a tie on, so I need to be serious. Hey, what we're actually going to do in the month of April and May here in this church is look at some simple foundational truths that we all need to really get. Is that okay? And probably most of what we want to look at, like today, you can sit there and go, I get that, I know that. And so we do. You know, I've learned it's good to rehear things. It's good to hear things again. And I think whenever we've actually got revelation, we never get sick of hearing things. If something's real to you, you know, imagine if you turned to your husband and wife and said, I love you, and they said, you've said that before. Don't try it, okay? You know, I think we need to keep hearing the gospel again and again and again. I actually think one of the challenges in sort of evangelicals is we think the gospel is something you hear, you get born again, get saved, become a Christian, and then we go, great, okay, over and done. And then we stop. I think we need to keep hearing the gospel. I want to suggest to you one of the challenges in the church, one of the reasons people get bound up in sin, in habits, in weird, wacky, and wonderful things, they get blown about by every wind of doctrine, is we get removed from the power of the gospel. We stop preaching the power of the cross. It is the cross that will save you if you're in the room today and you're not a Christian. But it's the cross that keeps you saved. You know, guys, you know, we believe in healing in this church, and I love seeing God heal people. Healing is so cool. It really is. If you're sick in your body, let us pray for you today. Let's see what Jesus will do for you today. But can I tell you something? The key to healing isn't in some man of God or woman of God. It's in the cross. He took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses, and by his stripes we were healed. It's the cross that gets your body healed. It's the cross that sets you free. And I'm not condemning anybody, but I tell you, if you're bound here, and we're all the same, if you're here in the room, if you're watching and you're bound by depression, you're bound by alcoholism, you're bound by anger, bound by lust, bound by, you know, on and on. Well, all the normal junk Satan throws at people. I tell you, here, the sun sets free is free indeed. Jesus wants you free. He doesn't just want you to mumble a prayer and believe you've got a ticket to go to heaven one day. He wants you to live out the life of heaven here on the earth. He wants you free. Am I saying you'll be perfect and never fall? No, but I'm telling you, you can be free. And Satan is a liar and the father of lies. He'll say you've been bound for years, you'll never get free. And I tell you, one word from God can break the chains off of your life and set you free. Whatever you're struggling with, if you're struggling with something, Jesus took it on the cross. He took it on the cross. He paid the price. I think one of the greatest messages we haven't preached, again, I was a Christian about 20 years before I really heard that message, and it revolutionized my life. In a sense, I'd always heard the message that at the cross, Jesus paid for our sins, S-I-N-S, like all the sins of the world, lying and adultery and, you know, this sin and that sin and driving too fast and, prophetic anointing on me though. You know, like, it's like he took this collection of sins and he did. He bore the sins of the world. But more than that, Jesus took sin on the cross, S-I-N, sin. More than all of like our misdeeds, he took the very nature of sin and it was nailed to him on the cross. And more than that, when Jesus died, you died. Jesus took that, what the Bible calls the old man or the old woman. You know, our old nature, our fallen nature. So many evangelicals have put their faith in Jesus as a savior and then they're trying to be good bunnies. I'm trying to be a good Christian. Can I tell you, God's answer is not you try to be a good Christian. God's answer is the cross. And Jesus took that old man, that old nature, that dark passenger, that old you that doesn't want to do, and he nailed him to the cross of Calvary. The apostle Paul said, I have been crucified with Christ, yet I live. Not I, Christ lives in me. Would you say those words today? Christ lives in me. Christ lives in me. Hallelujah. Do you know, guys, if we would get up every morning, look in the mirror and go, Christ lives in me. If you drive to work every morning going, Christ lives in me. Do you know, suddenly it's not hard to be a Christian. It's impossible to be a Christian. God is not looking for good Christians. He's looking for resurrected Christians. People in whom Christ lives. We were at the rehab center yesterday in Southbridge preaching to a wonderful bunch of people there. And I said something I've said many times. Jesus didn't come to turn bad people into good people. Jesus came to turn dead people into alive people. That's the message of Easter. It's not about improving your life. Jesus came to, you were a dead person, and Jesus came like he came to the tomb of Lazarus and said, dead man, dead woman, arise. Hallelujah. And on that first Easter Sunday, you know, when Jesus died, we died. Colossians 3 verse 3, you are dead and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Romans 6 verse 6, reckon yourself dead, crucified with Christ, dead to sin and alive to God. God looks at you and says, you're a new creation. You're a free man, you're a free woman. And what we need to do is not try to redo every day what Jesus already did 2,000 years ago. At the end of Jesus's passion on the cross, the very last words he spoke before he died and rose again, three words, is finished. And everything you'll ever need was done on that day. Come on, it's finished, it's signed, it's sealed, it's delivered. And Jesus rose from the dead. Paul says, let's not go there, but in 1 Corinthians 15, he said, if Christ didn't rise from the dead, all of our religion is in vain. He's like, this is a waste. What am I doing, Paul says, if Jesus didn't rise from the dead? And I encourage you, we should have a confidence that it's not just good doctrine. Jesus really did rise from the dead. Once, about 25 years ago, I was preaching in India in a town called Trivandrum, right on the south coast of India. Beautiful palm trees, coconuts everywhere. And I'm preaching in a little shanty slum area. Thousands of people living under tents, cardboard boxes. And one Sunday evening, we're preaching there with a team. I'm preaching with a translator. Got about 3,000 or 4,000 people listening. And I suddenly have this weird experience. When you're preaching with a translator, it's really fun because you get to pause. You only get to preach half it. You go, da 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 da. And then, you know, in the local language, they translate. And I, at one point, I'm preaching, and I sort of say the words, Jesus is alive. And my interpreter starts translating. And I suddenly look, and it's like I see this invisible wave, we call it frisson in French. Like, this like little like thing goes through the crowd. And I'm like, that's weird. So I said, Jesus is alive. And again, it wasn't big, but it was noticeable. And then I turned to my interpreter and I said, did you see that? He's like, yeah. And then he looked at me and he said, you know, it happened even before I translated. And the two of us started both at the same time. Jesus is alive. And later, I'll never forget that evening, I went back to where I was staying and I said, Lord, what happened? And the Lord said to me, every time anybody proclaims Jesus is alive, there's like a mini outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit can't stand it. He's like, he wants the world to know that Jesus is alive. Do you know, if you go to work tomorrow, to school, to whatever you might be doing tomorrow. We can argue, like, do you believe in God? Yes, I do. No, I don't. I think he's like this. You know, can I tell you, a lot of those arguments don't go anywhere. I like to tell people, I don't believe in the God you don't believe in. Think about it. I don't believe in the God that you don't. People come and they've got this twisted idea about God, and I'm like, I don't believe in him either. I don't believe in the God Christopher Hitchens doesn't believe in. There is no God and Freud is his prophet. Like, no. I tell you something so powerful though. Try declaring to somebody, Jesus rose from the dead. Jesus is alive. And watch what happens, because the Holy Spirit will jump on that person. I am absolutely convinced of that. And it's not about an argument. The Holy Spirit will begin showing them that Jesus is alive. Hallelujah. There's a true story of a missionary about 500 years ago from Spain. His name was William Barr, something like that in Spanish. And he actually traveled to Afghanistan. He's the first known missionary to Afghanistan. And he traveled all over Afghanistan and preached the gospel. And eventually he was captured in a region in the northeast of Afghanistan and burnt at the stake. A religion of peace. Anyway, literally the last words he spoke was like, God, forgive these guys. And he's like, Lord, I want my blood to soak into the ground of this village and testify Jesus is alive. And then he died. 500 years later, one night, this is a true story, check this out. 500 years later, this really weird thing happened in that village. This is only about 15 years ago now. One night, every man in the whole village had a dream. And in the dream, Jesus kind of appeared to them and said, I am Jesus, I am alive. And then every man in the village woke up speaking in tongues. I mean, that'll mess up some evangelicals, never mind that. And that morning, they all got together in the coffee shop or tea shop or whatever they had, saying, a really funny thing happened to me last night. Can I tell you, Jesus is alive. Come on, let's read a few verses in John 3. You guys know these scriptures, but in John chapter 3, verse 1 says, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night, saying, Rabbi, we know you are a teacher. Say teacher. come from God, for no man can do, say do, the things that you do. Just notice, if you will, teach and do. Teach and do. The former account I made of Theopolis, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth, who went about doing good, preaching, teaching. Teaching and doing are always connected in the kingdom of God. We have churches that teach and never do. Some charismatics try to do and never open the Bible. We need do and teach, and teach and do. Amen. I hear the angels. Verse 3, Jesus answered and said to him, "Most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Nicodemus said to him, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered and said, "Assuredly I say to you, unless one is born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel when I say to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wills, you hear the sound of it, you cannot tell where it goes, where it comes from, where it goes, so is everyone who is born of the Spirit." Nicodemus answered and said to him, "How can these things be?" Jesus answered and said to him, "Are you a teacher of Israel and do not know these things? Most assuredly, I say to you, we speak what we know, we testify what we have seen, and you do not receive our witness. If we have told you earthly things and you do not believe, how will you believe if I tell you heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except he that came down from heaven, that is the Son of Man who is in heaven. Just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." Amen. Come on, real quick this morning, I want to start with the basics. You must be born again. You must be born again. Is anybody born again here today? I don't mind if people call it something, we're born from above, come to faith, whatever, but you know, I think there has to be a moment in all of our lives where there's a before and an after, where we meet Jesus, where literally it's not enough to have religion. If you're here today and you're a Protestant, you're a Catholic, you're an Orthodox, well, God bless you. I'm not against any religion, but you must be born again. Hallelujah. Years ago in France, I was invited to preach in a French cathedral to about 2,000 Catholics. And I had this wonderful gospel message all prepared. And then this bishop, was really sneaky. So I'm sitting in this big cathedral in the town of Saint-Étienne in France, sitting on this platform. And then this bishop, who's over the whole area, he'd come to hear me. And he kind of tapped me on the shoulder and he said, "Follow me." I was like, "I've got to preach you." And he's like, "No, come on." And he took me into one of the little side rooms, like the green room for priests. Like a little, private room. And he said to me, he poured out some liquid and said, "Would you like a drink?" And I was like, "A glass of water." And then I tasted it. It wasn't water. It tasted like vodka or something. And I literally down half this thing before it real. And I'm sitting there going I need to preach in a minute. And then this bishop turns to me and he says, "Pastor Graham, I've been praying." And he said, "I think our Lord wants you to speak about Mary." And I'm like, this is not going to go down well. And I said, "I'm not a Catholic, a Roman Catholic anyway." And he's like, "You probably don't want me preaching on Mary." And the guy looked at me and he just patted me on the shoulder and he said, "You'll come up with a good sermon." And then he walked out. I've got about 10 minutes before I've got to preach. And I'm suddenly thinking like, okay, Mary. I'm like, what do I do? And I'm trying to get over this water I've just drank. And I'm praying and I'm like, Lord, help me. And suddenly the Lord gave me this great sermon. And I stood up in front of everybody and said, today I'm going to preach from the Gospel of Mary. And everybody cheered. I turn around, this bishop's looking at me going, there isn't a Gospel of Mary. And I tell them, I've discovered the Gospel of Mary. And they're all going, wow. And I ask these wonderful Catholic folks, I say, how many of you, if we could find the words of Mary in Scripture, you'd obey them? Oh, yeah. Hallelujah. Yeah, we've got to follow Mary. And I said, today we're gonna read the Gospel of Mary. Wow. The bishop's looking at me going, this is... So I told them to go to John chapter 2, the wedding of Canaan. What does Mary say? Mary says, whatever Jesus says to you, do it. And I said, this is the first words in the Gospel of Mary. Whatever Jesus says, do it. And all these Catholics go, ooh, far out, yeah. They're all writing it down in French. C'est que Jésus dit fait le. And they're like, wow, yeah. So I said, the number one advice of Mary is, whatever Jesus says, do it. Hallelujah. And they're all like, yeah. I never saw that. So we were in John 2, the wedding of Cana. I said, everybody flip the page. John 3, Jesus said, you must be born again. Now I said, guys, if that was just me saying it, or even Jesus, we might. But Mary said to you, you must be born again. Man. Are people like turning to your neighbor going like, I need to do that today. How do you get born again? And I'm like, don't worry, I'll explain it in a minute. And then we followed the Gospel of Mary. Do you know Mary, in Acts, we went to Acts 2 next. Mary was in the upper room. Do you know Mary spoke in tongues? What your Bible says. I don't believe, well, I do. And then we just put into practice some of the amazing Gospel of Mary. And can I tell you guys, you must be born again. And in a way, we've got to initially get born again, but we've actually got to learn to live born again. We've got to live born from above. I was saying earlier in the little teaching that, you know, there's many people in America who've said a sinner's prayer, and I don't know if they're born again. I'm not saying they're not, I'm saying I don't know. Can saying a sinner's prayer get you born again? Yeah, I think it can. But it's not saying the words, it's meaning the words. And then it's living the words. You know, as a pastor, I've only been married once, but I've married hundreds of people, if you get my meaning. I love doing weddings. Yeah? And I love, you know, you do flowers and fluff and whatever, but I actually love the vows when you get two people proclaiming vows, one to another and before the Lord and even before the community in a way. You know, there's a lot of people who've said the marriage vows, but they don't live them. They've said them, but they're not married. They were married, and at some stage they wander from that. And grace, grace, grace. God will forgive. You know, I'm not judging anybody. But my point is, it's one thing to say the words. It's another to live them every day. And we must be born again. But I tell you guys, we need to live born again. We need to realize our citizenship is in heaven. We've been born from above. And Jesus is talking to Nicodemus. And in a way, I think Nicodemus was one of the good guys. I don't think he was bad. I think he's trying to work Jesus out. And he's trying to understand this. And there's a point at which Jesus says, Nick, you can't get this with your head. Any more than a baby can understand being born. It's not an intellectual thing you work out. You've got to, they say in Scotland, it's better felt than telt. You've got to experience it first before the understanding comes. And I think God's message to America isn't red or blue or this thing or that thing. It's you must be born again. And can I tell you, I think we as the church need to, I think, again, one of the biggest faults and failings of the church is we get distracted into all sorts of weird, wacky and wonderful, bizarre, peripheral ideas instead of the cross. And I think we need to keep preaching the gospel to ourselves and keep realizing there's power in the gospel. I think you should look at yourself every day in the mirror and say, you have been born again. You have been born from above. You are a new person. Yeah. It's not about trying to be a Christian. You know, legally speaking, I'm an American. I have a nice blue passport and it's great, but I don't sound like one, do I? Sometimes, y'all. I don't always think like one, y'all. I mean, my point is like I'm learning to be an American. It's great. I'm enjoying the process, but it's the process. As I eat my tomato, I put the petrol in my car. It's very expensive, but no. Come on, my point is, but I wasn't born here. You know, if you take somebody and put them in the kingdom of God and they're trying to learn the ways of the kingdom, doing kingdom things won't make you a Christian. You need to be born in the kingdom. And the second you're born in God's kingdom, you're a citizen of that kingdom. You're a member of his family. And it doesn't matter where you're from, what ideas you have, what your background is. This gospel will work any place, anywhere, anytime. It's the easiest thing in the world to get Jesus to show up. You know, I think people pray for healing and do all kind of thing. I tell you, the greatest key to seeing people healed is just to proclaim the gospel. And he confirms his word with signs and wonders. And I've had God show up in the strangest and the weirdest place. I think Jesus likes showing up in really weird places that Christians won't go in. I've told this story before, but years ago I was preaching in Belgium in a little town called Verviers, and there's a church I go to there maybe about once a year when I can, and it's in this Muslim part of town in this French-speaking Belgium city, right on the border with Holland and Germany, in that kind of area. And the church is like right in the Muslim quartier, they'd say. It's surrounded by mosques, kebab stores, like halal butchers, all this kind of thing. And one day I'm scheduled to preach in this church, and I'm traveling with a young man who I was training at the time. We arrive about 3 or 4 o'clock and the church is closed. Nobody's arrived yet. So we're sitting in my car waiting for the pastor to come and open the church. And it's pouring with rain. And, you know, we're just kind of bored, like hoping he'll hurry up. And we keep seeing all these Muslim men pour into the road and go straight to a bar or a cafe right opposite the church. And we're kind of like, what's going on there? So I just kind of move my car and sneak in. And you can see all these men in this bar, all these Muslim men with the hats and the beard drinking. And after about half an hour, I looked at my friend Sebastian and I said, do you want to have some fun? And he looks at me, he's like, what are you thinking? It's one of my ambitions in life to make my friends nervous. And I said to him, come on, let's have some fun. Let's go into the bar. And he's like, really? So we went into this bar, ducked through the rain, locked the car, go into this bar. And we did not get a warm welcome. We were the only kind of non-Muslims in the bar. And Muslims aren't supposed to drink, but these guys were. And we went in and we sat at the bar and this lady came over. She wasn't very polite. She's like, what do you want? And I think we both asked for a coffee, and she came and she like banged this coffee down on the table. And, you know, we gave her our euro, whatever. We drank our coffee. And all these guys around us in this bar are looking at us like, you know, what are you doing here? And then as soon as we finished the coffee, this young lady behind the bar, like, grabbed the cups away. He's like, do you want anything else? In French. And I said, yes. She said, what do you want? I said, I'd like a glass. She said, what do you want in the glass? I said, a spoon. And she's looking at me really, like you guys are looking at me. So She brings me a glass with a spoon. She's watching me to see what I do. And I grab the glass and the spoon and went, ding, 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 ding. Whole bar stops. And I just announced in French. She said, hi, I'm a pastor. I'm going to be speaking at the church right opposite. And we want to invite you all to come and hear the gospel of Jesus Christ tonight. Nobody said amen, Josh. And then as we're sitting at the bar, this guy who's about 6'4", again, muzzle, got a big beard, like big muscly guy, he came right over to me and poked me in the chest and said in French, on est musulman, which means we're Muslims, like that. And you know when Jesus said, take no thought what you'll say in that day? Sometimes the best answers you don't think about. This guy like says, we're Muslim. And it just popped out of me. I said, brilliant. Jesus loves Muslims. And it's like it just disarmed him. And he said, oh yeah, he does, doesn't he? And this guy looked at me going, yeah, Jesus loves Muslims. And straight away, I had this pain in one of my knees. And I know that. And it was like God speaking to me. So I said, do you have a pain in your knee? And the guy's like, yeah, how do you know? And with my friend, I'm like, we're just going for this. I was like, we're going to pray for you and Jesus is going to heal you right now. So we prayed for the guy. The guy got instantly healed. And he was so happy, he bought us both a beer. And then this Muslim guy announces to the whole bar, anybody with anything wrong with you, come over here. These guys will pray for you and Jesus will heal you. So we spent an hour praying for people in a bar. I'm still live streaming this. Everybody we prayed for bought us a beer. I think we drank one to be nice. Do you know that night about, I don't know, 6 or 7 Muslim guys came to the church and got born again. You must be born again. You must be born again. And I want to encourage you guys, if you're not born again, get born again. Mary said do it. Secondly, I want to encourage you, if you are born again, live born again, think born again, like develop a lifestyle of born again. Live who you are. Keep reminding yourself, learn to renew your mind. Get some born again friends and learn to talk born again. Get friends who won't call you out on where you're wrong, but they'll call you up to who you are. They won't go, look what you did, Matt. They'll rather go like, hey, remember who you are. Who you are. You're a conqueror. You're a child of the King. Let's learn to find people who encourage us. We all need that. Can you get to heaven sitting at home watching on YouTube? Like, yeah, but that's not the point. Find a community of people. Learn and grow. Find some people to have crazy Jesus adventures with. Come on, even if you fail at times, like, have a go. And you know, I think last point today, we've got to give our faith away. We need to tell this world that Jesus is alive. He's the AI is not the answer. Jesus is the answer. Come on, the answer's not in outer space. I can't wait to see them go around the moon, but there's nothing there. Jesus is the answer. In him was life. He's the light of man. Hallelujah. And I encourage you, think born again, live born again, dream born again. Develop an identity with God. Not just, I'm an old sinner saved by grace. No, you were an old sinner. You got saved by grace. And you're now a new creation. You're part of the family. When the prodigal son came back, the prodigal son said, I'm not worthy to be called your son. Make me as one of your servants. And the father's like, I don't need servants. You are my son. And I tell you every day, put that royal robe of righteousness on. Put the ring back on your finger. Feast. Live as a son, male and female, in the Father's house. You've been born again. You're a brand new person. All things have been passed away. All things have been made new. And if Satan comes to you and tries to talk to you about things you did yesteryear, he is a liar. God says your lawless deeds I will remember no more. God doesn't remember the things you've repented of. They've been nailed to that cross and you've been raised a brand new person. And the key to changing your behavior is to renew your mind to your identity. Come on, say this with me. I'm a child of God. I'm a new creation. I'm born again. I've been delivered from the power of darkness and translated into the kingdom of God. In Jesus' name. Amen. Guys, just before we move, I want to quickly ask that question. I think I know most of the people here, but not everybody. And I want to ask if there's anybody in the room who doesn't know that they are born again, who isn't sure, who isn't certain. You know, our goal isn't to, you've got to join this church. If you live around here, that could be nice, but there's other church. That's not my point. My point is you must be born again. And if you're here in the room or watching online and you're saying, well, I try my best and I try to be a good person. Again, with love and respect, that's not enough. You must be born again. Your good works are like filthy rags to God. And you may be a really, really good sinner, but you're a sinner. And you can't try harder and harder and harder. Your good deeds don't outweigh your bad deeds. You don't need a renovation or an improvement. You need to be born again. How do you get born again? It's really simple. You come to Jesus, just as I am, without one plea, save that your blood was shed for me, and that you bid me come to me, O Lamb of God, I come. Could I just ask us to bow our heads, close our eyes for just a quick moment today? And Holy Spirit, I thank you, you're here. And I just pray that you'll come and knock on the door of hearts today. And if anybody in the room doesn't know you, I pray that you'll lovingly say, come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. So real quick, while there's nobody looking around, no pressure, no gimmick, if you're in the room and you're not sure you're born again, but you'd like to be, if today you want more than a chocolate egg or a, you know, Easter card, you want to meet a risen Savior, we'd love to pray for you. I'm not going to embarrass you, but if you want to take that step today, I just want you to raise your hand up high right now while nobody's looking. Anybody want to do that and say, pray for me? I want to meet Jesus. Anybody? Let me ask one last time and then we'll move on. Anybody want to do that? Don't be shy. Don't be nervous. Jesus loves you. Man, that is wonderful. Well, I always love asking that. And if you're watching this online now or later and you want to do that, drop us a line and we'd love to help you with that. Father, we thank you again. Help us to be good stewards of the gospel you've given us. Help us to proclaim you to this lost and dying world. Help us to be a shining light together with many others in New England. And Lord, I just speak your life, your love, your blessing, your prosperity, your manifest goodness on every person, every family in this place in the name of Jesus. Amen. Wonderful. Thank you guys for being here with us today. Again, there's coffee downstairs if you're able to stay and have some fellowship. If you need to run, we respect that, of course. Happy Easter and have a wonderful week. Bless you.